Our next presenter is actually going to be doing two presentations. His first one is going to be about himself. It's going to be a presentation on growing up blind. And he actually did this when we were at our spring seminar, and we just thought it was so good and just had a lot of humor in it. And then after he does that, we are going to ask him to talk all about the new Braille Note Touch from Humanware, which is their latest Braille tablet. And I did say Braille tablet. This is revolutionary. So Peter is going to tell us all about it. So for the next several minutes, we're going to give Peter the floor. Peter?
Well done, Peter.
So first of all, I don't know how in the world I'm supposed to follow country music and dancing with my boring life story, right? I mean, that's quite the feat. It's really, really nice to be here. I am definitely glad to be here and be able to talk to everybody. I know that many of you may know who I am. My name is Peter Tusick, for those of you who do not. I work with Humanware, and we'll get to that part in a little while, but I was asked to come and kind of float through and talk about my experiences growing up and some of the things that now as I travel for work and crisscross the country from Boston to San Diego or Seattle to Orlando and everywhere in between, the things that I now see prevailing everywhere. So as I think about the way I grew up, and I always talk about and encourage, you know, different tactics and methods and different things, and now I'm seeing these things repeat themselves in other areas. So it definitely helps with the travel that I do. But I also want to thank everyone from the NFB of Illinois for having me out. It's going to be awesome. I will say that I've been on the road all week. I got back from Canada late last night, so I'm at the end of the talking week, but I will keep it going. Don't worry. No one will be bored. We're going to have some fun. The other thing is, at any point, whoever was playing sound effects, please just throw some of those in there, man, because I don't know where those came from. Those are awesome. So throw them out. Any point, whatever you have, we'll liven it up. But I'd like to thank NFB of Illinois, Denise Avant, and Patty, Patty Gregory Chang, and also Debbie Stein for having me. So I met Debbie at the Bell program. And I've known her for years, and she said, come talk to us. Exactly. That's a scary one, too. Chainsaws. I love it. So I am from actually out here. My parents still live in Lisle, Illinois. So I grew up in the western suburbs of Chicago, and I live in the city. I went to UIC. But what I'm always asked about is really, you know, from parents as I travel, and I primarily work with TBIs and do lots of professional development and workshops. And I do lots of work with kiddos as well, one-on-one sit-downs and various pieces. And I'm always asked about my childhood and why is it that I'm able to do what I do, and in certain cases, you know, how are you successful, or what do you do? Because my child struggles, or I myself struggle, for instance, and I don't have that ability to get out of my comfort zone, you know. And the two things that I'll reiterate them as I go through, but there are two concepts that I generally talk about, and one is deviation and the other is exposure. And I think as blind people, take our dancing example, right? Exposure is always the biggest obstacle to really working and living and existing in the sighted world. When it comes down to it, we have to be able to fit in. We're able to live the life we want, but we really have to be able to succeed. And in doing so, I mean, what we need is, and the way that I always talk about exposure to various pieces of life. So whatever that might be, I remember when I was little, my dad is from Bosnia, and I was told that I needed to do things like, get on the roof, come on, we're going on the roof. You know, okay, well, I guess I have to get up on the roof because that's what I'm going to do. But I think that those pieces are what's most important, because as I get older and I have my own home now and I live on my own and I live in the city and I do all these things, it's all relevant to me. Everything is relevant. So when I was little, I was always, always, always expected to do everything that everyone else around me was doing. And that meant riding my bike. It meant playing in the street, or it meant doing whatever it was. It also meant falling down. It meant burning myself, right? Just getting into trouble. There was no I was not protected in those ways. And I think what I see, especially as I travel, is the nobody anywhere wants their child or their children to be harmed in any way or hurt. But what I see with blind kiddos is the overprotection and just the lack of exposure, even down to something as simple as knowing that when you go through a drive-through, you're going through, you're next to the restaurant, you're actually at the place, you're talking through a window. The most basic concepts to anyone else, we just don't have. We're not living in that same world where we can look around and see our signage and see all these different things and take it in and it's relevant to us. So exposure is number one. And I think the second thing that I see, and growing up, I was always told, you know, if you want to do something, you know, you're always going to have to, you're going to do it a little differently, but also you need to be able to talk about and be relevant anywhere you go. And that means doing things that I might not necessarily have wanted to do. So I remember for years sitting in basements while everyone around me played video games, for instance, going to movies because I really liked girls, you know, and I wanted to do things and they weren't going to want to listen to some radio with me or something. It was doing things that were outside of that comfort zone for blindness, outside of, yes, I might like the way this voice sounds, or yes, I might like the way that this computer works, or yes, I might, you know, want to do something in the house, but it really was getting out there. And one of the hardest things for a blind child, and adults will be no different, but it's making friends and fitting in and having, you know, those around you. And there's always the question, well, my kiddo is so normal, but everywhere he goes, he just sits in the corner. And I'll say, well, what makes him so normal, right? And I'll say, well, he likes to talk. Say, okay, that's good, right? But it's not always doing something the same way. It's that, again, deviation and doing something that isn't going to be maybe the most comfortable thing for you. And I, growing up, that was the other big piece of it. And I normally will do these talks and take 45 minutes to an hour and talk about my life and what I did and how I do it. And this is a little bit different. It's kind of floating, right? So, but as what really the biggest piece, and I see it across the country now as I travel and as I meet kiddos in different places. So, I always, if there's anything that we can take away or anything as parents, when you worry about, you know, your child's sanctity, your child making friends and fitting in, it really will always harken back to exposure and deviation. Just trying to find multiple ways of getting, having that exposure and really making things happen. So I was very, very fortunate in that I was expected to do everything. I had to clean the cat box, right? It was awesome. I had to empty the dishwasher and take the garbage out. I had to do all of that stuff because the expectations were there, but it also, I was exposed to that. So now I know that I don't want to own a cat, for instance, right? I mean, that's what I come back to with all those things. My mom will be like, well, at least you know how. Well, I guess. But it was, I was always expected to do all of those things. And when I meet blind people, I love it.
That was your mom.
She's here somewhere.
That was your mom calling.
I love it. You know, it really, really is so important that we do that. And I think for me, the other big piece was, and you know, I was someone who was always excited about getting out and experiencing things. So going to a sporting event or going just the riding, taking the train, going, I realized at a very early age, well, my mom did, that my life was going to revolve around public transportation. It was going to revolve around not being afraid to ask for help and really saying, well, we're going to go and we're going to take the train, and you're going to find this and find that. And she wasn't an O&M teacher. And I always talk about when I was little, you know, the support groups were very different. I mean, there was an NFB, there were different parent groups, if you will. But today we have the internet, we have so much more and so many different ways to communicate. So, you know, I'm always, and that's where something like the NFB is huge, because we can pool our resources. And it's always, that's for anyone who's here today, obviously you understand the value of that and just getting together and pooling resources and ideas and all of these things go so far. So I as a parent, I mean, the blindness organizations are great places to learn and really just to ask questions, because it is, I am not a big fan of talking at people. I would rather talk with people and to people, not really at them. So, you know, it's always about questions, and that will help just as much. But I really, growing up, was very, very fortunate to just have that exposure, have my parents not really give me any sort of leeway. I really could have used some from time to time, but they just wouldn't let it happen. So what I would like to do, and I know it's a large group, but I mean, in terms of specifics, I mean, are there pieces of the puzzle that you as a parent are unsure of, or something that, I'm not going to say something that pains you, but something that's sticking there? Is there anything at the, you know, at this time that any questions that anyone has? Because this is the short version. This is the Peter Tusick, like, in and out version of this sort of speech, right? And if not, that's fine. I can handle it. But the other big thing, so growing up, when I talk about exposure, I also talk about not falling into a routine or into a rhythm. So as blind people, the most successful, you know, the best chance for us to be successful, really what it will also revolve around, is being open to variety, knowing many ways to accomplish the same task. Because you might not always have your iPhone, you might not always have your Braille display, or you might, you know, your computer, whatever it may be. And just knowing and not being, really it will revolve around just not being stuck in one way of doing things. Because when you do get that work issue computer and it's not your Mac, right? And they say, well, here it is. You're hired, rock and roll, make it happen. And you'll say, gosh, but I don't know how to use this. And that's where we oftentimes, I will find as I work with and meet with blind people, that we're very, very, very particular, right, about anything. So it might be, I like the soft sheets, or I like the whatever note voice profile on something maybe. And I think we oftentimes let that get in our way. And I always, always stress, just, it might not be what you're used to, but that doesn't mean it's not, you know, something valuable or something we can take with us. So always, always go down that road. What I will spend a few minutes talking about is what I do now with HumanWear. And I would also say that I never envisioned myself working in blindness in any way. I went to the University of Illinois at Chicago. I was a history major, and I was a Russian major. So go figure that one out, right? It made no sense to me either. But when I left college, I had started working at the Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind, and I ran the National Assistive Technology Help Desk there for a number of years. And the opportunity presented itself to me about a year and a half ago to work for HumanWear. And I've been a user of Braille technology and Braille note takers and Braille displays and computers and everything, really, for especially HumanWear products, for the last 15 years or more, since the first Braille note came out. And when I took that job, it gave me an opportunity to travel, which is fantastic. I really learned, and I'm still learning a lot about floating through airports and getting from place to place to place on my own, and sometimes getting delayed for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and you just sit there and think, well, I could be at home right now not doing this, right? But the opportunity has been fantastic, and I'm a blindness product specialist with HumanWear. And as much as the technology piece is fantastic, really the value of getting in front of kiddos, working in the classroom, working with TVIs, going to, you know, I went to my first NFB convention this year, which was awesome. We were in Orlando, and that was, I know many, many of you, some of you were there as well. So yeah. I know I saw a few of you there. It's been great. And what it's also given me, though, is the opportunity to work with and network and meet other, you know, blind and visually impaired people, whether it is kiddos or adults or veterans across the country. And it's been fantastic. So I work with our blindness and our speech products. And I, you know, we really, about 3 years ago, the question was asked, is there still a need for the note taker? And the answer was yes, from professionals, from TBIs, you know, students. The answer was yes, there is a need, but the product needs to be something that is open. We're seeing now a marriage between mainstream and assistive technology. So for instance, if I use something like the iPhone. I mean, it's an out-of-the-box product that will give me accessibility. We didn't have that even 6-7 years ago. I would have killed to have a Mac in college. Exactly. We are walking down the aisle. But it really is. So for the first time, we're seeing that out-of-the-box experience, which is phenomenal. So I can use, and not just one product. I mean, there are multiple options that are viable for a totally blind user or a low vision user right out of the box, whether it be working with a Windows 10 computer using Narrator, or, you know, working with something like an iPhone or an Android device using TalkBack. But what we aren't seeing in those pieces of technology is the usability piece improving. So the accessibility piece is there, but the usability piece doesn't always, they don't always equate. They don't always live together. So what we have done is we've taken the note taker and we have rebuilt it from the ground up. And it is also, it is, as Denise said, it is a fully functioning tablet. So we're able to work in our medium, being Braille, and if we want to, we can use a QWERTY keyboard, but we're taking the traditional note taker and we are opening it up. So not only can we work with it in Braille and use all of our pieces of technology, like in our apps and things, word processors and planner and email and internet and all that, but we can bring in third-party applications to also run on the device so that I can work with something like Google Drive or Google Classroom or Google Docs in Braille, which is huge in and of itself. The other piece that we brought into that is the ability to work with some other major pieces that we never had. So something like a camera. I am tired of this thing beeping because I'm pushing it and going crazy. We have an 8-megapixel camera, and I will be doing a demonstration of every unit will have the KNFB reader installed. And not only is that, that was a big one.
Yes.
Big, big, big one. And what that does is it allows us to go from print to Braille in less than, 2 seconds. And where that's very important is I talk about, and HumanWare is a Braille-centric company, but the importance of Braille is tremendous. And I can go on and on and on about how much it means and it's so important and all this stuff. But what it really comes down to is we don't read the world around us. And I talked about exposure earlier. But we're not reading the world around us. And blind people are notorious for having quite, we'll just call them challenged spelling skills, right? Our spelling is very poor because we're not reading the world around us. And I am an auditory user. I use the iPhone, I use Android, I use those devices on a daily basis. But at any chance, when I have the ability, I prefer to use a refreshable Braille display because I'm getting the spelling of Naperville, Illinois. I'm understanding how Denise spells her last name, or her first name for that matter. I'm actually reading that information, and it's extremely important. So with the Braille Note Touch, we're able to use the 8-megapixel camera, and not just for KNFB reader. Obviously, that's a major piece. It's the main reason why it's there. But it's also going to give us the ability to use things like BeSpecular or any sort of crowd vision sort of apps, something like a Be My Eyes, for instance, something like money identification, whatever it may be, and we're bringing that into Braille. So I want to do a demo. What I don't know, though, is that I don't think I can project from where I'm standing. I think there is a projector somewhere. But what I'd like to do in that point is to show the KNFB reader piece. I'll do a demo up here, and then I wanted to also show what we've done in terms of creating math content and working in a preferred Braille code. So working in something like Nemeth code or our favorite UEB math, right? And I thought I'd hear moans and groans and all sorts of stuff coming out of everybody when I referenced UEB math. But we're able to work in our desired Braille code and produce spatially accurate and proper visual math for the first time.
Have speech on and do that way people
absolutely
can hear what's going on?
Absolutely. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just, again, talk about the demo. And at any point, I can use... So the Braille Note Touch is, it's still a Braille Note. I can clickety-clack away all day long, if that's what I want to do. The major benefit, though, is I can flip the Braille keyboard back and expose a full touch screen. And what I do at that point is I'm able to not only Braille on the device, but fully drive the device using the touch Braille. And there are many, many benefits. The first of which is just being totally silent as I work. So I can be completely silent and take notes or be in my meetings or whatever it is. And I can also, does anyone out here use Braille screen input, for instance, on the iPhone? Right? It's phenomenal, right? It works very well. I use it all day. The difference between what we have done in Braille screen input is the ability to work with all 10 fingers. So when you use Braille screen input, you have to, for instance, swipe right with one finger to space and then set your hands back down to type. Or you might swipe left with two fingers to delete your previous word, right? And then you have to put your six fingers back down and start working. What we've done is we are identifying all 10 fingers at the same time. So you're creating your own Braille keyboard at any time. I'll move it down when I do it. Unless you have a, do you have a lav mic?
Put one right here.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you so much. So what we're able to do is we're able to create and identify a Braille keyboard every time we lay our hands on screen. So when I'm at the booth, for instance, at NFB, I will have somebody come by that has Shaquille O'Neal hands, right? Big old hands. They're able to work on the device at the same speed as a kiddo who might be 7 years old because it is identifying all 10 fingers as soon as you lay them down. What it also does, because we're using the touchscreen, we have a full visual display for your sighted parent, teacher, or peer. Where that comes in handy, and really the major benefit, I talk about my dad, but when I was little, nobody knew what I was doing. I was using a Braille device, which was extremely, whether it was the mainstream teacher or parent or anyone, they have no idea what's going on. So now we're working with a full visual display, and we can take advantage of that full visual display. So I can do things like format a document and show you that formatting. Did I center my title? Right? Because again, that's another thing, another skill that a lot of times as blind kiddos growing up, we lack. We don't understand the importance of formatting, creating visually appealing content. It's extremely important that we could do that, and we're able to do that with the touch. But then also for things like the math, we can watch videos, we could do anything on the Braille Note Touch. So what I'll do is I'll give a brief demonstration just of our main menu and of some of the touch Braille, and then I will also go into a demonstration of the KNFB reader. And at any time, any questions are always, always welcome. So shout them out. I don't do many of these sorts of presentations. They're usually far more formal, and I very much appreciate this sort of thing. So please, if you have questions, ask, and I will help you out.
Jamal, we need a Kathy.
Notice
are you doing the microphone? You have a question there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Patty, you're in the room.
Let's crank it up. I have confidence. I will hear you in a second.
Okay, there we go.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, with that being said, two quick questions, Peter.
Yep.
First of all, welcome to our state convention. And second of all, what was your first experience with adaptive technology? And growing up, do you have any memorable cane travel experiences?
Well, so the first question, I've used AT, blindness products since about 96, 97. So with your JAWS 3.5 era, the Braille and Speak, all of that good stuff. So I've been using AT for about 20 years. I'm 27, so we'll go with 20 years to be safe. Cane travel experience. I did have an experience where I lost a cane to a CTA bus. That was kind of fun. That was about 7-8 years ago somewhere. So the bus ran the red light, and that wasn't good. But that's a bad one, right? Those things don't happen, everybody. It's a once in a blue moon sort of thing. But I am a cane traveler. I'm not I do not have a dog, so I'm a cane user, and I always, when I give the long version of the growing up story, talk about the importance of going through that phase, because everyone will go through a phase where you don't want to take your cane everywhere, right? Maybe you're in about fifth to eighth grade and you're like, forget this. And then you realize, man, oh man, it's not that big of a deal. And you can do so much. And so I always say, oh, I'll just let them go through that phase. Eventually that the importance will be there and you won't be afraid to not do it. But I've definitely had some very interesting cane travel experiences. So what I'm going to do is I'm at the main menu and I'm just going to briefly, I can fully drive the device.
Contacts, colon, key list.
Woo! I can fully drive the device using the thumb keys on the front. So even if I have no working knowledge of Braille, I am able to press my next thumb key and move through all of my menus. As a sighted user, I can follow along with everything without knowing how to follow and work with Braille. So as I move down, for instance,
email, colon, key, mail.
I'll see
Internet, colon,
the standard
key,
applications. So I can move item by item. That's great. All right, cool. But I can also use, again, the power of KeySoft. We talk about accessibility versus usability. So if I'm using this, for instance, as a tablet, so I can turn the touch Braille piece off.
Touch Braille off.
And I can actually swipe right on screen to move
word processor,
item
colon,
by item,
key plan.
By
file
item,
manager, colon,
right?
Key files.
So right now I'm using one finger on the screen. I can use explore by touch if I prefer. And if I wanted to activate something, obviously I'm going to double tap with one finger. Just as I would, these are standard, they're actually standard Android gestures. So they're going to be standard KeySoft gestures now for Android. Remember, we're not using TalkBack, we're not using BrailleBack. This device is using KeySoft. And I know you don't have to speak Android, if you will, to know how to use this device. Exactly. That's not going to start happening. But what I can do, the power of KeySoft, if I want to get to something like all applications, for instance, I'll have to swipe and swipe and swipe or scroll, and it might take me 5, 10, 15 swipes to get where I want to be. But the power of KeySoft means that I can use first letter navigation. So even in those third party situations, I can press the letter A.
All applications.
And get to all applications. Or I can press the letter K.
KNFB reader.
And get to my KNFB reader, which is on my main menu. So I'm able to use KeySoft. And I'd flip the keyboard down to do that because I'm holding a microphone with one hand. But I am able to use the power of KeySoft in those third-party apps. So if I know there is a search button somewhere in that Play Store or on YouTube, right, I can just press the letter S and quickly jump there. What I will do is I will do a quick demo of the KNFB reader. I am going to set this mic down, and I'm going to so the device is the same size as the BrailleNote Apex, for those of you who have seen it. I will be sticking around a few minutes after before I float my way back into the city. If anybody wants to, I'll be around if somebody wants to get their hands on this and kind of feel it. But it's going to be the same size. What the camera, the nice thing about this device is when I taught OCR or when I worked as a, you know, training with the VA in different situations, teaching OCR on an iDevice was rather difficult because that camera is off-centered. So you have to really teach for overcorrection, and it doesn't make sense to a lot of users. The nice thing here is our camera is centrally located. It's right in the middle of the device. So all I have to do is raise my device and take a picture. As long as I'm centered on that page, it's going to work. I have some awesome examples that I use from The Outsiders. Who remembers The Outsiders? Yeah, you know it. The greasers are coming. Does anyone remember where it took place? Because I didn't until I started doing lots of these examples. Does anyone remember? Oh, home of the Thunder. Oklahoma City. Yeah. So that's your little tidbit of knowledge for the day. The Outsiders took place in Oklahoma City. So what I'm going to do is I have this document. And again, this is going to, we're going to be using the KNFB Reader app. It is, as someone who travels 5 days a week usually, this app saves my life. I use it all the time on the iPhone, especially for in-room menus. If I get in somewhere late and I really need something to eat and I can't find something online or on Yelp or wherever it may be, I can use that. So I love KNFB Reader. And then what we've done is we've made some slight variations to it so it will work better with Braille, for instance, and also so that we can use a designated button to take the picture. So on the right side of the BrailleNote Touch, there is an action button, and that button will allow me to work as my shutter button, if you will. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open KNFB Reader, And at this point, I am going to come in. Whoa, calm down. I'm going to come in, and it's kind of different because I'm holding it in front of everyone to do this demo. But I'm going to come into KNFB Reader, and I'm going to open it. I know you can't hear it yet. Don't worry. You will. You will hear it in a moment. What I'm going to do is I'm going to center my document. It is at a bit of a slant. I'm not too concerned because KNFB Reader is that good. I am going to lift up about 8 inches from. Rule of thumb, as many blind people know, elbows on the table, right? That's what I always teach kiddos. Elbows on the table, fire away. So I'm going to lift up. I'm about 8-10 inches above my piece of paper, and I'm going to use my shutter button. And it's going to take a picture. And at this point, we do have, so there are LED, there are flash bulbs on the, that will stabilize the image and will also work to take the picture. And now, what I read on my Braille display is the Outsider Summary. It's a summary analysis of Chapter 1 and 2. The novel begins with Pony Boy, blah, 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 blah. But I can either read that on my Braille display so that, again, I'm getting the proper spelling of Pony Boy. I know that Pony Boy is one word, and I don't look silly when I turn it into my teacher and make Pony Boy two words. She said, well, obviously you haven't read this, right? So, again, I'm getting that Braille, but I'm also able to use speech as well. So just to, I'm going to press my next thumb key, and I'm going to hold my microphone over the speaker here.
The Outsider's Summary and Analysis of Chapters 1 and 2 Summary. The novel begins with Pony Boy, the narrator, leaving the darkness of the movie house. He has just seen a ball.
And so on. So what I'm able to do is I'm able to not only have this in Braille, I mean in text, and be able to listen to it, but have that Braille piece. And this will be, this is on, as of Monday at 9 o'clock Eastern time, this will be on the Braille Note Touch. When we launched the product, the KNFB Reader was not there. We were working out some things with our friends in Baltimore. And that was all finalized. And then the next step was to get the camera certified. So what we've done is we've gone through all the same steps as your LG or your Samsung or Motorola in certifying the Braille Note as a Google device. So it is fully Google certified. And we are very, very proud of that. So we're the first AT company to have a fully certified device it's a big deal. So Google worked with us, and what's great about that is moving forward, Google is committed to accessibility in their apps. So things like, I will tell you, Google Classroom for the districts and the schools that have drunk the Google Kool-Aid, right? It works zipped. it has worked very, very well. Google Classroom is works well, wonderfully on the touch, as well as things like Google Drive. Google Docs is always getting better. It works very well as well. There are some interesting intricacies there, sometimes when you have multiple people editing in the same document. But what we're seeing with this product is the first major, major update is within 3 months. Whereas before, the Braille note takers, no matter which note taker, you know, inclination, whatever version you may have had, you would see one update per year. So we are looking at major updates every 3 to 4 months. This update that we're looking at Monday, so we'll have the KNFB Reader. We will also have that full math editor, so creating content. And then we're very, very pleased for the first time you were able to use an Android device to control your iPhone. So you can use the Braille Note Touch as a Braille display for your iPhone or iPad or Mac or JAWS, computer running JAWS or NVDA or whatever screen reader you may be using. So we're very pleased. We will have a full Braille terminal. That was not on the product when it launched. That is huge. So I would like to answer any questions. I know that we're on an agenda. I have about 10 minutes. But I wanted to, and I wasn't going to do 45 minutes of just talking at everyone. I don't generally like to do that. So if there are any questions, please, please, please feel free to ask. And I will do my best to answer.
David, we need a microphone.
Got a mic here.
Mike. We're streaming, so we need
it. Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so that's why we need to make sure we have back the mics.
David.
Can we get a mic today?
I was going to ask.
I ain't that smart. Question I have, Peter, because it's something I just can't really imagine. But you're saying that you can actually Braille on the touch screen. Is it what I can't understand is your fingers aren't necessarily going to be landing exactly in the same spots.
No.
From time to, you know, from one time to the next.
Nope.
So how is that actually even possible?
So what we've developed is the touch Braille is a, it's, and that's where it's very different from Braille screen input, for instance, on an iPhone. Because on an iPhone, you have to hit targets that you create, right? With the Braille Note Touch, you can actually drift. Remember, every time you lay your hands down, so it's much like when we type on a computer. I mean, I find my home row, right? Touch all my keys, and then away I go. The same concept is how we're going to have it determine your fingers on the actual glass. At first, so every time you lay all 10 fingers down, it's recognized all 10 of your fingers. It knows the position that your hands are in. So you can just start working in Braille, and then that it's going to pick up what you're doing. I'm able to touch Braille faster, and I don't just mean typing text. I mean editing in backspace as your left pinky and enter as your right pinky and your thumbs as your space bar. I can work faster on the glass than I do actually on the physical keyboard. It is not something that is picked up immediately by everyone. I always say, nobody asked us to be able to type on glass. It's a benefit of the product, but really it's about once I do get the hang of it, because it's a little bit different. I'm not, when we learn Braille, we are taught to come from up above and pound, right? We have to get that strength of hitting those Perkins keys when we're 5 years old, and sometimes we can't do it. I see kiddos giving it all they got just to type a B, right? So the difference with touch Braille is we're not typing in that same way. We're laying our hands down, much like we play a piano. Your fingers are slightly curved, and it's all in your finger movement. It's not in your wrists. You're not bouncing. You're not galloping, right? When I played piano, I took lessons for a long time, and my piano teacher used to put a glass of water on my wrist. So that if my wrist moved, I had very poor form. And I think that actually helped a lot with brailing this way, because I can fly without actually moving my wrist. But we're not coming up from the top. So yes, I mean, the concept, David, is different. It is a different concept, but it will identify all 10 of your fingers. And until even, you know, your best Braille user, when I first got this, I thought, I will never, ever make this happen. But I prefer it now. So even your best Braille user will take 20, 30 minutes to really get the hang of it. And as you use it more and more, I mean, now I don't even calibrate. I just away I go. I really don't have to lay all 10 fingers down all the time, especially if I'm working on marking emails and doing specific commands, you know, that I remember my hand position that I had created that keyboard with. So I can just shoot up L with backspace, read my Braille display, L with backspace, read my Braille display. I'm not always moving so slow and calibrating. And in the calibration, the finger recognition takes less than a tenth of a second. It's the same amount of time it takes to find all your Braille keys on the physical keyboard. That's what we were emulating with that. Because there were other technologies we looked at where you might have grooved glass, or you might have different ways of sort of creating targets. And what this does is it's a very specialized touchscreen that will identify all 10 fingers at the same time. Yes.
Wait for the mic.
Wait for the mic.
What is that?
Well, there's a question over here.
Question.
Is that Amy?
Thither.
You know, if you guys would be helpful if you'd say your name, because...
Say your name.
Hi. Hi. So I'm Amy. I have the Braille Note Touch, and I've been using it pretty frequently. And one of my issues with the touch Braille is... It's nice once you get used to it, but yep. Is there a way to stop it from spazzing so much? Like, if you miss one, it just, like,
it
freaks
goes,
out on you.
Yep.
Yeah, is there a way to prevent that? Because it's just, it's like I'm typing, and it's hard enough to, like, it's a weird thing looking at a screen than trying to go look at your keyboard when you have the keyboard down. You could just press one key with one finger and be reading your Braille display. That's one thing to try to keep track of, but when it's spazzing out on you, It's kind of hard, even if you're doing it the right way and you have your hands positioned and you're typing okay for a while, but it just keeps spazzing out on you.
How so what I do and what I always say as I cruise, and I remember when we sat down and I kind of showed you that form, right, and how you're going to use your hands on the edge of the display and all that good stuff. But really, I mean, what I would do, if you're looking at creating or producing a lot of content, right, at any point, I would flip my keyboard down. If you're doing something quick and you're comfortable with touch braille enough just to do something quick, then use your touch braille. The more you use it, the less you will find yourself needing to calibrate, meaning the less it will spaz out. But again, it's just a matter of using it consistently. So if I were you, I would use the braille keyboard. I would actually flip down the physical keyboard and type that way. If you're finding that in your case, you're just having trouble keeping it calibrated. Because there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody asked us to be able to type on the glass, so feel free to do that. For someone like myself, at first, when I first got the Braille Note Touch, when I started beta testing last November-ish, I found it very difficult. And it wasn't until about February, March, once they really started improving the way Touch Braille worked, that I really started using it exclusively. When I travel, I don't use the physical keyboard cover at all. I only use touch braille everywhere I am. So it's just a comfort. It's just a comfort level. And it's different. It's definitely different. But if you know, Amy, that you're going to be creating a lot of content, just flip your keyboard down. That's what I would do.
Now we have time for one more question because we're getting toward the end. And I think Zachary had a question.
Oh. Zachary, it's floating. Keep talking. We are floating.
Keep talking.
Zach.
Thank you, Syed.
All right. Winner, winner.
So I've had an interesting experience with my touch and with Nearby Explorer from APH. And that is, especially when I go right downtown, I think because of all the tall buildings and stuff. But I'm having issues getting it to work with the QStars, the GPS, and I haven't even gotten it to work with the internal receiver. So I'm wondering if you can point out something. And if you're subscribed to the Braille Note list, I've been mentioning that a lot on the list lately.
And I am...
I agree. I was just about
to. Oh, sounds good.
That's a general question.
Okay. For those of us who have QT models of the Braille Note Touch or Braille Note Apex, is there any plans to have a QWERTY flip down keyboard or a QWERTY model of the Braille Note Touch?
It's an awesome, awesome question. So right now we only have the overlay as a Perkins, the actual Braille keyboard. You can use the touch with a Bluetooth keyboard or with a USB, a QWERTY USB keyboard. But in terms of the overlay, at this exact point, no. There is no plan to have an actual QWERTY physical overlay to drop down. Does that mean it'll stay that way? I would believe that at some point there may be, especially for, well, really, when I go to deafblind conventions or I go to various places, there are some power QWERTY users that really are asking for that sort of piece. So we're listening, and I'm always in their ear about creating a QWERTY model. So that's a great question, but we will definitely be able to do that at some point.
Peter, thank you so much for coming.
I appreciate it, you guys. Thank you so much for having me, and I will see everyone soon.
Cool, guys.